This Pete and Kimber podcast is just a little taste of the show. Get a taste of life at Murdoch at Murdoch University's Open Day, Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tour the campus and find the course you're passionate about. This is the Pete and Kimber podcast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. I had a bit of a big day yesterday, Pete, on our socials, in our Pete and Kimber Mix fan page, and also on our Mix 94.5 page on Facebook. Okay.
Oh, I saw you responding to everybody about the scams. Yeah, is that what you're talking about?
Well, a couple of things. I spent a lot of time because someone's impersonating Carrie and Tommy, which they did to us a little while ago. They stole pages or made pages that look like you and I, and we're trying to get people to, like, you've won a prize, click on this. So if you hear this now, we never do that. We never contact you through Facebook to tell you you've won a prize. So if you see that, it's absolutely a scam. Report their page and we'll try and shut them down again. But I also spent some time responding in our Mix fam because people have a lot of questions about Cash Call.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I'm immediately where you are right now.
And I feel like we should just talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about
it. Because, so, you know, a lot of you will know how to play, but Cash Call is a game where you're registering to play. You put your name and your phone number, you text it to us, and we put you in the registry. And then we call you across the day. You're writing down figures of cash. We're giving them out across the day. You're writing down the amount. We call you. And if you have the right amount written down, you win that amount of cash. Mm. Now, what we experience a fair bit is that Alyssa or Tim, or they'll call and the person won't answer the phone.
It must be so frustrating.
Yeah.
For now, people who are like glued to their radio waiting for their phone to ring.
Because we know that some of you are literally writing down every amount and you are ready to go. You've got your phone, you're good to go. But there were some confusing questions written in our Mix fam yesterday that I tried to answer, but also left me in a bit of state of confusion over why some people don't know how this works.
How so?
Because I get that there are a few people who are like, hey, why register into the comp if you're never going to answer the phone? I think the easiest answer to that is, like, people register and sometimes their Monday to Friday is not as simple as yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
might have a job where you are at your desk or with your phone all the time. Some people work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Some people are picking up the kids. Some people are like, not everyone's day is the same static day. So, like, I understand that some people aren't available. I think some people don't answer the phone because it comes from a blocked number.
Yeah, and look, there's been so many times I've heard on the air where Tim and Alyssa will actually leave a message for that person.
Yeah.
Which must be shit to come back to, by the way, to go, I don't answer blocked numbers, and then you come back to a mixed message saying, hey, you just lost $2,500.
Oh, and that sucks. But, like, I think that's pretty fair. But the thing that I'm a bit surprised by, there's been a few people who are saying, hey, I registered for Cash Call this morning and I've waited all day and you haven't called me yet. And I think there's some confusion about how competitions work.
That's not how it works.
That's how no competition works. That's what I don't get. Is, like, if you buy a raffle ticket, you know you're in with a chance. And they might draw your number.
Is that on us? Do you think we're not explaining it properly?
No, this is what I don't get. Is, like, if you enter a competition, then, like, there's a chance you'll win.
Yeah.
If I buy a lotto, there's a chance I'll win, but I accept that as going in it, I might not.
So these people you think are going, okay, so all I need to do is just register and then I wait for my phone call.
Yes.
Because my phone call's going to happen. So they're going to get through everybody today.
Yeah, because someone said, oh, like, I waited all day for my call. Where was my call? And then someone said, well, I've waited 4 weeks. Where's my call? And someone else said, well, my sister got a call and I didn't, and I registered before her. And I think we're not doing it in order.
No,
I think it's really important that you all know that they're random. And that's why we said once you're in the draw, you're in the draw for good. We could call any time. You don't have to keep going in it.
Yeah.
But I just got really confused because I thought that all competitions worked that way.
I don't know.
There's a shot.
There are different competitions that work different ways. Never has there been a competition where we have said, hey, we're going to call every single person back from A to Z, because it's just unfeasible. Because there's that many, you know it. Every time there's a little thing on the radio station that goes, hey, don't forget to register for Cash Call, our text message system absolutely blows up and we get hundreds of thousands of text messages coming through with people entering for this competition.
Hundreds of thousands is a bit much.
Sorry, I said hundreds and thousands. Did I say hundreds and thousands?
I think you said hundreds of thousands. I mean, that's a lot.
So I'm overdoing it.
Well, I mean, and people might be like, oh, what's the point if I've only got a 1 in 1,000 chance or 1 in it? But like
10 or 15 text messages come through every single time we play one of those little things.
And I guess, I mean, what do you do about it, right? Still better odds than Lotto.
Yeah, but you can't do anything about it.
And it's free. That's the upside that I can sell you is that it's free. If you buy a raffle ticket or a Lotto ticket and you go in all those competitions, normally you have to buy something.
Well, people seem to be, if you're talking about the Lotto, people seem to be happy enough. They still keep buying Lotto when they get $18.10 or $37.50. Why don't we divvy up the $2,500 between all of the people that are texting through every day?
You know they want an amount that will change their life a bit, or at least change their week or two.
Yeah, everybody gets their 80-cent cone from Macca's and that's it.
I think most people get it, but it just was confusing me that people were confused and I thought, let's just chat about it. Make it really clear.
I appreciate that because I think it needs to be really clear for everyone so they understand and now they've got their explanation. But I think you're always, I think it's just in general. It's like anyone who's listening to this who's had a retail job or whatever, you know, you're always going to get that small percentage of people who don't quite understand what you mean when it says 50% off sale on this rack of jeans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't just mean that like some of the holes have been cut out of the knees.
No.
Right.
No, not at all. But we still love you and we welcome you.
Yeah. We just want you to know that it's all fair and that, you know.
And proper fair.
It's fair. Yeah. It is what it is.
It's potluck.
It's a game. Yeah. Potluck. But anyway, also on the podcast today, we're going to talk about a man with a broken penis.
Oh, now we're here for it. And now just in case, now look, again, for those few people that are there that often don't quite understand what's going on, this is about a man whose penis is broken. His shaft is in half.
And we know what you might be thinking. There's no bone in the penis.
No.
And how does that happen?
No.
But there's good fodder in it. It's good chat.
And then look, just a heads up, he gave us a call. Shortly thereafter, he called the station because he'd heard it. And he sent us a message like, hey, I'm cool to chat about it if you want to chat. He's on the show tomorrow.
It's fascinating. I think it's going to end up with its own podcast.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant.
We also caught up with Oscar Allen, who's had a rough start to the season, the footy
poor
season.
Guy. Yay or nay on the way.
We realise none of us are smart and I upset Serena.
Oh, that's right.
Serena's a teacher who texted us in and I think I just felt like we'd really disappointed her. Like our parents weren't angry, they were just disappointed.
Yeah, sorry, Serena. you and Ben Cousins, Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
We hear the fallout from that. Best caller wins. I love this game.
Yeah, well, it's how much money ruined your friendship today? Mm-hmm. And wow, people will sell out their friends for next to nothing, right? $50.
Unbelievable.
$50.
Yeah.
But it's great. Yeah. So enjoy that and enjoy the podcast.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Pete and Kimber.
I've been following this really poor bloke on TikTok at the moment. His name is Adam and he's suffered a bit of an injury. And what he's taken on doing, just to sort of relate to everybody out there and tell everybody it's okay, like we all experience these setbacks in life, he's actually covering his life for 30 days straight. And every day he posts like a couple of videos, you know, this is day one and this has happened to me and day two and so on and so forth. And
right, like recovering from an injury.
Yeah. And I just wanted to play it because I think there's a lot of people out there going through a lot of things in their life at the moment. And this, the way this guy, you know, inspirationally is bringing himself back from such a devastating injury, I think it's just going to be really good for people to hear.
Okay.
All right, so this is day one.
I got my first on-the-job injury today. I was going hard. Unfortunately, they've said I need to take up to 4 weeks off. Do they know who I am?
Do you know what this guy might do for a living?
That was very vague.
Anything? Just throw out some guesses.
I don't know. It could be anything from a bricklayer to a porn star. I've got no clue.
Oh, let's go bricklayer then. Maybe he's a bricklayer.
Okay, he's a bricklayer. He's a chippy.
He's not a chippy. Here's day 15 because I've been following, actually, I haven't told you, I've been following this for about 30 days straight so far.
Okay.
This is day 15.
When I tell you I've been up at night just trying to get to sleep, but something is not letting me, like, I'm telling you, I'm like so down for it. I sent a you up text to myself.
Poor guy, just doing everything that he possibly can to just try and get through life. Any further guesses? Chippy? He's not a chippy. Maybe some other trade.
I don't know. What more can I go with?
Oh, well, let me play you. I'll play you day 18.
Okay.
I'll play you day 18.
So how's it going? Super productive, but my libido is an all-time high. I have replaced busting a nut with eating chocolate-covered nuts.
Poor guy. You're
okay.
Right. He's
more and more I'm thinking he is a porn star.
He is a porn star, and he's busted his willy, the poor bloke. Come on. 35-year-old Adam Mannikin.
Just 30 days is all it takes to recover.
Well, he's known as the Apollo Show, and he was going hard, and it slipped out, and it went 90 degrees, and he suffered a blood clot in his manhood, and it blew up like a Coke can. And he's doing 30 days of recovery called the Flaccid 30. And I just...
What do you have to do to turn yourself off for 30 days?
Have an injury. Have a horrific injury like that, apparently.
Yeah, but it's more than the injury. You've got to get in the headspace of it. You've got to watch horrible videos of, or like have imagery of, you know, like something terrible.
Like what?
Of something terrible.
Maybe a picture of what happened? Actually, I wonder if we can find the video. Hey, Rami, let's see if we can find the video of the moment that it happened.
I found other videos of him.
Yeah, I know he did. We just had to confirm. The West Coast Eagles host GWS. Just unfortunate news for the co-captain, Oscar Allen, from the West Coast Eagles, who joins us on the show now. Good morning to you, mate. How you doing?
Good, guys. How are you guys going?
Oh, look, we know you're not great. We know you're going to be feeling sad, Sack, buddy. You don't have to lie to us. We've been friends a long time.
Yeah, look, yeah, to be honest, I'm pretty sad and disappointed. Yeah, unfortunate way to start the year, to play one game and then have a bit of time off. But I'm happy to be back here with you guys. So I hope you're both going well and have had a nice couple of months.
Oh, thanks, mate. Aww. No, we're enjoying ourselves. We've kept the seat warm for you too, mate. So we're looking forward to getting you back in the chair inside the studio. But quite a surprise. I mean, so the story goes that you appeared to get off the game, finish the game over the weekend quite fine, no problems whatsoever. And then you had scans on Tuesday saying that there's bone stress in your right knee. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Finished the game and didn't actually notice it too much throughout the game. And probably, yeah, Tuesday morning it blew up a little bit. So decided to do some scans to investigate why that was the case. And yeah, a bit of stress in the knee at the moment. So going to have to take a little bit of time off legs and then reload and get back into it.
Honestly, why are knees so fragile? Like, they need to lift their game. I feel like, you know, I played a few seasons of netball for Bateman when I was younger, and my knees are completely poked.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
You can really relate to Oscar, can't you? A few seasons of netball in Bateman. Well, right?
Oscar, oh, look, maybe when we get you, like, you are our footy guy, we get you in all the time. So, like, when you come in, maybe I've got to start asking you for your new Netflix recommendations or something. Like, what are you watching at the moment?
It's a good question. I've started the new Gentleman series.
Oh, I've heard good things.
Yes, I love the movie. I think the TV series, and it started off in a good form. So, unfortunately, probably a little bit more time watching Netflix at the moment on the weekends. But that's all right.
Mate, how are you, you know, how's your head at the moment, right? You had 2022, which just sucked for you. You didn't play a game, and then you come back and you're firing all season last season, had a great season, played all 23 games and were just so potent in the forward line, and then you come back and there's this setback. Mate, how are you dealing with that at the moment?
Oh, it is really frustrating and quite difficult, but in saying that, it's just footy. And, like, everyone has setbacks. So that's the way I'm viewing it. I'm trying to take the glass half-full approach that I'll be back out there sooner rather than later and I'll be a better player in person for it. So probably the more disappointing aspect is with my new leadership role, not being able to help Duggo out on field and help the team out on field is another probably level of disappointment at the moment. But I just have really good confidence in our strength and conditioning and medical staff that they'll get me back out there soon.
But that's what makes you such a great dude and such a great player and co-captain, because you have such an excellent attitude to this stuff, like knowing that it's a setback, feeling rubbish about it, but also still trying to remain really positive. So you're still giving back to the team in ways you don't know. And we know you're really responsible. You're not someone who, even though you're super hungry to get back out, you're not someone who pushes your body in a dangerous way where you're not going to be able to complete the season. So, like, you're going to do your rehab. You are doing your rehab exercises, aren't you, Oscar?
I am, yes. That was probably the biggest learning from 2022. I probably tried to rush and force it a little bit too much and get back in play straight away. And that's probably the bigger reflection now, that make sure that I get fully on top of this. So, yeah, when I come back, it's all guns blazing for hopefully the rest of my career and can avoid these injuries along the way.
Were you? What's the time frame, mate? Honestly, have you got a number there for us? Is it 6 weeks, 8 weeks? What is it? What are you being told?
Yeah, I wish I could give you one. It's kind of a bit of a wait and see how it's actually heals and progressing. So I'd love to be able to say, look, it's going to be X amount of weeks, and I'll be out there playing it round whatever. But at the moment, it's all been pretty acute. It's all happened pretty quickly. So we're still trying to figure out the best course of action forward. And hopefully, just sooner rather than later would be nice.
All right, no worries. Hey, we'll leave you to it, bud. Thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate it, especially given, you know, that the news broke this week, so you'd be inundated. We were smashed on the text yesterday by West Coast Eagles fans who know that you're our West Coast Eagle for the year, just going, can you get him on? Can we hear from him? Can we hear that he's going okay? So thanks for doing that for us this morning, mate.
No worries, and I promise I'll be in studio next week. Don't worry about
good,
that.
Good stuff.
Hey, we might be able to eat hot chips together now.
Yes.
Just for a bit.
Just secretly, just between us.
Don't you do that. Don't you do that to him. Don't
I'll
you
let him live a little.
Oh, you're telling him, okay, nah, sit on the couch, sit on your backside and watch Netflix, get some hot chips into you. We need him back out on the park. Gee whiz.
Pete and Kimber's yay or nay.
My rum.
Hey, Rummy.
Hello, happy Friday Eve.
Aw,
is it Friday?
Thanks.
Yeah, it's Friday
it
Eve.
It is Friday Eve, yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Happy Harmony Day.
Happy Harmony Day. Do you like my bright orange? I look like an Oompa Loompa. Is that
it
the right
is.
Thing or a Tic Tac?
I just went for this tan instead. What do you think?
Fantastic.
It's about four layers of tan.
Mm. Didn't realise you were tan. That's concerning. Anyways, yay and nay. You've got three topics and 3 seconds to make up your mind. Are we ready for the first one?
Yep.
It's a good one. Bidets.
3, 2, 1.
Yay.
Nay.
Nah, massive yay. Honestly, I was nay. And then back at the end of 2019, I went on a trip to Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to try one for the other radio station I was working for at the time. And it turned me. Like, every opportunity I got, I'd be sitting down in Japan. It was great.
Environmentally, probably a great idea.
Yeah.
And I know that people who love bidets really love bidets. Like, they're, like, all for it. But the only bidets I've ever been exposed to are in foreign countries in public areas. And stepping into wet floors where people have been washing their butt cracks absolutely the most disgusting. So I'm saying nay because I've never had a private personal bidet experience.
You haven't had a good experience.
Yeah,
it feels
yeah.
really good.
It's so good.
I mean, it's good. It's a good wash.
It's so good. And it's like when you get a really good jet stream as well.
Yeah.
Like, there's a few that are a bit spray.
I got a new bidet for mum the other weekend. And
did
I
ya?
Installed it for her.
Yeah.
And I just love going over to use it.
Like, hang on. So where do you use it? Do you just stay sitting down and you just sort of...
No, you stand up. What do you think? Of course you're sitting down. You
well,
stand
I don't, up. I'm telling you, my experiences in public bathrooms are absolutely filled with water.
If
so I just thought everyone was splashing it around.
No, if you stand up, it's going to shoot across the wall. It's a jet stream.
Right.
So if you're sitting down, it aims it right into your nether regions.
Yeah. That's so good.
It's
I think I'm pretty
sensation.
Sure I've got video of it on my Instagram still
Why?
Somewhere.
Which video? Of course.
That's weird.
I can't believe I even asked.
Yeah, let's just leave that there. Second one. Bigger guests should pay more on airplane seats, on airplane
Three,
flights.
2, 1.
Nay. Oh. Nay.
Mm.
The airlines
is
are making...
Nay,
you know who I think they should charge?
Who?
People who take on hand-sized luggage that's not hand-sized. Like that stuff where they, you know, like the carry-on luggage.
Mm.
People who are trying to jam stuff into a suitcase that's half the size of the chair. No.
But what about when you sit next
You're deflecting.
Yeah, you are.
You're not answering the question.
No, because I think for me, it's just it's a money grab for airlines. I can't. It doesn't matter whether the person next to me is large or not. Yes, it's going to affect your comfort level in the chair because they've got us jammed in there like sardines.
Mm.
But them paying more money to the airline, it won't change my experience. They're not going to give them bigger chairs. They're not going to do anything for them. They're just going to take more money.
But maybe if it forces them to buy two seats, so they have two seats themselves. Oh, and that's the question, right?
Oh, it's tough, right? I mean, where do you draw the line? You're like, everything else is discrimination and then that's not. Like, I don't... Mm. What are you supposed to do?
Huh?
What are your thoughts, Pete? I want you to get cancelled.
I love people. I think people are great.
There's you guys are lovely.
Where do you want us to put the weight limit? Come on, because you're obviously a yay. Where do you call it? Do you go weight limit or do you go by size of shoulders? Because some dudes, man, they take up space.
Yeah, I know. But if your backside's in the one seat, then you've only got the one seat, right? That's all you're paying for, just the seat. But if you've got to take up two or three seats, then you still have to pay for it. That's somebody else who could have had that seat.
Hmm.
Interesting one. I like this one. And final one. Are we ready to move on?
Hang on, I'm just watching the text line.
I was thinking about the camels in Broome. I was thinking about, you know, when you go for the camel rides in Broome.
How many humps should I take?
Because it's animal, rights, obviously. They're like, you're not allowed to weigh a certain amount. If you're over that, they will not let you on the camel. And they make you step on the scales in front of everyone before you get
on. Mortifying. That's mortifying. And final one, killing insects is inhumane.
3, 2, 1.
Nay. Burn them with fire. Mosquitoes serve zero purpose on this planet. I don't care that they've feeden rats and snakes and whatever. They'll find something else to eat. Mosquitoes have got to go. Spiders have got to go. Cockroaches, don't need them.
Bees?
No, we love the bees. We have to have the bees.
They're insects, though. Are they? But
yes. Are they?
Are they? Is a bee an insect?
Are they?
I don't know.
They're not an animal.
Well, aren't insects animals?
Hang on, Kerrod, you're the smart one here in this team. Are bees an insect or an animal or what?
I presume they're an insect.
That's not answering the question.
No.
You don't know either.
We're dumb about
this. Of course they're insects.
Is an insect an animal?
I don't think an insect is considered an animal, is it? I have to check that.
Here, you take your time.
Quick, while you're doing this, a guy in Queensland has discovered a brand new insect and he only found it because he went to go what he thought was a hairy poo. It turned out to be a new beetle. It's called a longhorn beetle. It's a new species.
Insects. Insects are animals.
Oh, okay, there we go.
They're arthropods. Of the animal kingdom.
Don't know anything.
I told you, nervous about this segment. Every day, nervous. Just never know. The HBF Run for a Reason, happening Sunday, May 19. You can enter today at hbfrun.com.au. Run, walk or wheel for a reason close to your heart or just to get your heart pumping. It's where we've been hearing a lot about your reason, Edmund Rice Camps for Kids, Kim, which is just a stunning reason. It's awesome.
Oh, they're so good. Like, I've been an ambassador for this organisation for about 6 years and worked closely with them. And we help disadvantaged and vulnerable and at-risk kids. And they have these young people that are like 17, 18 years of age who come in and help the younger kids who are 7 to 16 and provide mentorship, provide a strong community, help them find their self-worth. And this, like, the impact it has on our community and the way they help each other. And the whole organisation is volunteers. I mean, honestly, they are a knockout organisation. I can't believe what they can do for these kids. So, yeah, I want to walk for them. And, you know, HBF Run for a Reason gives us a good chance. And the thing is, the run is awesome. It's one of the best days of the year in Perth. It's always gorgeous weather. Everyone comes together. It's super vibey. You get out there on the track. You make friends. It's great.
I'm looking forward to seeing you there. If you want to be involved or you want to give some money to Edmund Rice Camps as well, you can search for Kimber's Crew for all of the links and details and get involved. Ben Cousins signed on with us as an official friend of the show for 2024. And I thought, you know what? Great. We've got a great bloke to talk footy with or Dancing with the Stars. Nope. How was your day yesterday at Jacob's Ladder?
Fabulous.
You ready for the HBF Run for it? Oh, he's fit, isn't he? He's a fit bloke.
He's taking care of himself. And so he thought that he would impart that knowledge and that experience onto me.
Well, it's like the Edmund Rice camps. You know, it's leadership, it's motivation. It's,
yeah, well, it's good. True.
There you go.
Yep.
So yesterday, shortly after the show, you got into all of your exercise gear and Ben Cousins took you for a run up and down Jacob's Ladder. Let's take a listen to how it went.
You're out of your mind. You think I can get up all of these stairs on Jacob's Ladder in 2 or 3 minutes?
It won't take long.
What?
Two walks?
I thought this could take me 45 minutes.
Nah, it should be all over soon.
Hey, Ben, I can't help but notice that when you walk now, you have a little bit of a dancer's step in your feet.
Oh, I'd love to think that.
I've got a rig set for your head.
Hey!
How you been, man?
Good to see you, brother.
Great, bro.
Yeah, going all right. You've been good.
How you going?
Are you still doing the...
So we've made it two flights down the staircase and Ben's run into someone he knows. I hope this happens the whole way up.
Okay, I'll follow you up every second step, or you want to follow me up?
Oh, I think I'm following you. I'm worried that... Okay, so every second step...
We're not running it, but we are getting up it, you know?
Ooh, starting to feel a burn in the thighs already.
Yeah. So good.
Oh. I'd talk if I wasn't so out of breath.
We're nearly there. 2:30, I reckon. Did you in?
Oh.
So good.
Oh.
Well done.
Oh my God. I'm dead. Yeah, I'm really aware now why I had no idea where Jacob's Ladder was. And I don't belong here. These are not my people.
These are not my people.
While I was up there trying to find my breath, yep, some dude runs around and he'd lapped me a couple of times. I was like, what number's this? He was like, 9. Okay, cool. Good job, bud. Keep it up.
Tell you what, there's a lot of women and blokes who'd give their left arm to be walking up some stairs behind Ben Cousins for a couple of hours. You know, we're going to play a lot more of that audio and actually put up a lot more of the footage of you going up and down Jacob's Ladder with Ben Cousins on the Mix socials, but
the
basically,
next couple of rounds.
Well, this is really all we had left.
Ouch!
You'll get there.
Oh, my thighs are burning. Oh, oh.
I'm surprised that you didn't start playing that with a bit of, like, Genuine's Pony in the background.
Oh, that's coming.
Pete and Kimber's Best Call Wins.
Best Call Wins is quite simple. We throw out a topic. You call in with the absolute best story that you've got. We take a few of them, and then the best caller wins this morning. How much money ruined your friendship or your relationship? It could be friends or family.
I hate these stories, though.
Oh, get a load of this one, right? So there's a lottery winner where there's a heated feud going on between him and his brother, Australian lottery winner.
Yep.
And he won a sizable amount of money, not enough where he's rich, but enough just to change his life a little bit, put him on a good path.
Right.
Now, he's refusing to share the money with his brother, and he's given some reasons, right? He himself, who won it, says, I've always been financially cautious, saving where I can, working a couple of jobs, keep myself afloat. Of his brother, he says, he tends to spend his money as quick as he earns it, often on things he doesn't need, and then struggles until his next paycheck. So when he found out about my win, he immediately asked, or rather demanded, that I give him half. His argument was that we are family, we should share our good fortune. And then he also got him on a bit of a guilt trip, saying to him, do you remember when we were little kids growing up together and we made that promise that if anything like this ever happened, we'd share the money?
I mean, and so he didn't even contribute to the ticket or anything. He just reckons he should give it to him.
Just because it's his brother.
And so they're having a fallout.
Yeah. Oh, they've had the fallout. They're not speaking to each other at the moment.
I hate it when money comes between people. I know when I was at uni, we had an international student in our group and we were really like a very tight class. There weren't many of us there, right? And she was going to have to go back and move back home and not be able to complete her studies here because she'd run out of money and the international fees were quite high. And one of the guys in our class loaned her money, loaned her somewhere in the vicinity of about $4,000.
Oh, wow.
Right? But we were very close. Like, I mean, like, we're really close friends. It would be like you, me, Rami, Kerid, one of us getting into a real situation and us trying to help each other out, right?
Sure it would.
Anyway, she was like, I'm going to pay you back money on a payment plan. She paid him about $150 and then she ended up bailing and he never saw a cent.
No.
And he was like, I can't believe I lost my friendship with her over $4,000. Like, it's nothing. He goes, in the grand scheme of life, we would have been much closer.
See,
over $4,000.
$4,000, I think, is a decent amount of money. But there are people out there who lose friendships and relationships and stuff over peanuts.
Yeah, that's
over
true.
Over absolute peanuts.
Well, tell us, how much money ruined your friendship?
Max in Southern River, good morning. Welcome to the Pete and Kimber Show. Tell us what happened with one of your bridesmaids.
Hi, guys. Cut to the chase. Basically, she came to my destination wedding. It wasn't expensive. It was in Thailand, so it was pretty reasonable for everyone. And then a couple of months later, she was having her wedding, and she wanted pay for a bridesmaid's dress, pay for hair, makeup, accommodation. I think it ended up being like $2,000-$2,500, and she wanted it yesterday. And I said, I'm really sorry. I just don't have it. I can't get it together. Can I give you a little bit by little bit? And she was like, no, I need it now. And I was like, well, I just don't have the money. And she goes, oh, well, you've got a big rock on your finger. Why don't you just go sell that?
What?
What the hell?
That's...
Yeah.
Max.
Don't.
Did that end the friendship right there? You're no longer...
Well, after she said that, I should have been like, well, no, that's not very nice. But I was like, no, I can do it, just a little bit of time. And she was like, well, you're my true friend. You would just give me all the money now. You want to be a part of this. But if you can't, then I don't want anything to do with you. And that was it. She cut me dead.
Wow. It's amazing you can go from being so close that you're bridesmaids to just not being friends at all.
Money does that. How often do you hear money does this to people, though?
Okay. Amber.
Yes.
How much money came between them?
Okay, so this couple, they had both been burnt in the past, so they had a very strict you pay and I pay house. So they were buying dinner, and the partner said, I can't buy dinner. Can you pay this week? And so she paid for dinner, and then it came to the next week, and he said, look, I can't pay for dinner. Do you mind paying again? And she's like, no, it's your turn. And basically that ended their whole relationship over buying dinner.
Over a dinner.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was like $80 worth of takeaway food, and that was it.
And I guess it's the principle behind it, right? People are like, it's what it means.
Yeah.
If you loan someone something, they say, that's tough.
But in that, were you thinking, because I was thinking, okay, he's gone 1 week, he's gone another week. How long is this going to go for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joel in Alkimos, good morning. Best caller wins. How much money ruined your friendship?
For us, it was best friends and, yeah, $50.
$50? What happened?
So a friend of ours reached out to us, asked myself, I didn't know he asked others, but he goes, oh, look, behind on the phone bill, just need it so I can, call for work and stuff. So I sent him the 50, went, yep, easy as, just send us back whenever you get a chance. And he did it to all of our mates, so about 20 of us. And then all of us consigned together. We went, oh, we haven't seen him in a while. And never heard of him ever again.
I mean, $50 is a really digestible amount to ask everyone for, isn't it? Because a lot of people would give that amount.
Yeah, and then when you're asking, 20 of your mates, that's all of a sudden $1,000.
He's just funded a trip to Bali. Yeah,
what
and
a great business model. Oh, boy. Becky in Erskine. Good morning. Hey, Becky Boo. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys
good.
Doing?
Good. You've got a wild story about how much money ruined your friendship or relationship. Tell us what happened.
About 6 years ago, my car got stolen from the front of my house. I got an insurance payout. My best friend was telling me that she was going through chemo for cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then my bank card was stolen. I went through the police and got CCTV footage of it. She actually stole $1,000 out of my bank account.
Whoa.
What? Yeah. Like, and okay, so
you were already giving her money and then she took more.
Yeah, so like I would give her money each week, you know, to help her out because she was short.
Yeah.
And that's cool, you know, your friend's going through chemo, you're going to help him out. And then, yes, when I confronted her about the $1,000 she took out of my bank account, it was because she believed she deserved the $1,000. But it gets worse. She wasn't actually going through chemo.
No.
Did she even have cancer at all?
No. No.
No.
Oh, my God. I just got goosebumps.
Yeah.
Oh, mate. Those people are the worst of the worst of the worst that can fake a disease like that
and
do something. Like, how? How do they do something like that to someone, let alone a friend, but let alone just to people in general?
I don't know. Sometimes you think $1,000 was an easy way of getting out of that friendship, Beck. Am I?
Pete and Kimber's Throwback Thursday. Do you
remember? Yeah, occasionally we like to throw back on some of the huge things that have happened on this show with Throwback Thursday. And given that the great man Tom Jones is in town at the moment.
He's such an amazing performer.
Incredible.
He's great live.
Yeah. Thought we'd go back to our interview that happened at 3 o'clock in the morning during our 24-hour show, Kimber.
You know, at the time, we had done 24 hours of this show and we were getting really close to the end, or at least we thought so. But you're right, it was 3 a.m. and I remember thinking afterwards, we just did a great interview with Tom Jones. Like, that chat was great. And then it wasn't until days later, Rami and Kerrod heard it and said, oh, you guys were just about slurring. Mm. You were so tired. You were so slow.
Of course we were tired. We'd done ice baths. We'd eaten crickets. You'd taken a swim in the Swan River.
Like, you'd had a tattoo.
I had a tattoo. There were so many things that happened. And then
you had your bikini waxed.
Yes. At like 2:30 in the morning, half an hour away from him being on our show, it gets sprung on us as a surprise. Hey, 16 hours in at this stage, right?
Yeah.
This is, I'm just going to play you just like 5 seconds of how you opened the interview. Just have a listen to this.
So Tom Jones, on the back of 2 hours of interview, you're probably sick of answering questions.
Sorry.
Oh my God.
That sort of sets the scene here,
right?
I thought
I was super professional. I sound terrible.
This was us hanging out with Tom Jones, 3 o'clock in the morning, 16 hours in 27 and a half hours straight.
So, Tom Jones, on the back of 2 hours of interviews, you're probably sick of answering questions. Is there something you would like to ask of you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's up to you. I think most questions have been asked.
Right.
But, maybe in a different way. You might be able to ask me something different. I don't know.
Well, look, I'll kick it off by saying thank you, because my first proper date with my partner was at your concert at King's Park 8 years ago, and you set the mood. Yeah. It's still working out, so cheers for that.
Oh, well, that's it, man. As long as you're still happy, that's the main thing.
It's all going swell. It was a really great concert.
Are you still happy? I just want to make sure you guys are still happy. Okay, great. Yeah, fantastic. I got a question for you, Tom. You know, like at 83 years of age, and you are still going strong, and you are absolutely hammering it. Are you happy? Are you happy, Tom Jones?
I'm very happy. I'm happy to be alive. And then
that poor bloke had no idea what was happening.
He was a sweetheart.
He did so well with us. Because we were rat.
He said no question has been not asked of him. He said, I've heard everything.
Yep.
At the end of that interview, there were two questions in there that he said he'd never been asked before.
That's right. That's
so
very true.
I get we were a bit slurry and we were a bit tired, but the journalism on it.
Where are we?
So Tom Jones, on the back of 2 hours of interviews, you're probably sick of answering questions.
This Pete and Kimber podcast is just a little taste of the show. Get a taste of life at Murdoch at Murdoch University's Open Day, Saturday, March 23rd from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tour the campus and find the course you're passionate about.